please be standing? Thank you. You may now be seated. Each of the family members and friends is very appreciative of your attendance here today. To give thanks with us for the life and testimony of Mr. Gordon Dunn, to express your sympathy to the family and assure them of your thoughts and prayers at this time. To Gordon's wife, Gillian, his sons, Andrew and Stephen, Andrew's wife, Stephanie, and Stephen's girlfriend, Karen, daughter, Amy, and her boyfriend, Lorcan, brothers, Alistair, Basil, and Samuel, sisters, Eileen, Lorna, and Caroline, parents-in-law, Billy and Amy Coulter. We extend to you our deepest sympathy today and assure you of our prayers. We'll turn to the first item of praise on the order of service, the famous 23rd Psalm, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie." And I should say, by way of note right at the beginning, that each of the items of worship today have been chosen by Gordon. And I was looking back through text messages and WhatsApps and correspondence that we had together, and on the 3rd of April, I received this text from Gordon: "Thanks for your message and assurance of your prayers. Thanks again to all at Martyrs. The Lord is my shepherd," he wrote. So we'll stand together, please, and sing this psalm.
Thank you.
seated. I'm going to call now on Pastor Alistair McNeice from Hollywood Baptist Church to lead us today in prayer. We thank you, brother, for coming and for ministering to the family in their time of need.
Let's join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we acknowledge you today as the Creator and Giver of life. Today we give you thanks for Gordon's life and every memory we have of him. We thank you for his many years of devoted public service in both local council and in the Northern Ireland Assembly. Thank you for his desire and willingness to help all who turn to him, regardless of their background or political persuasion. We thank you for his family life as a devoted husband to Gillian and loving father to Andrew, to Stephen and to Amy. We thank you for his Christian faith demonstrated so clearly in both his public and personal life, for his kindness and gentleness, the fruit of your Holy Spirit so evident in his life. And this afternoon we come to you with sadness in our hearts as we mourn Gordon's passing. And we pray especially for those who will miss him most. We remember Gillian. We pray for Andrew and Stephanie. And for Stephen and Karen. And for Amy and Lorcan. And for the whole wider family circle. We pray that they will know your comfort and strength and the peace which only you can give. We thank you, Father, that we don't grieve as those who have no hope. Thank you that Jesus paid the price for our sin when he died on the cross, and that he rose again, defeating death. And we thank you for that assurance of eternal life to all who trust in him for forgiveness and salvation. We thank you that Gordon is now in the presence of the God whom he loved and served, free from suffering and pain, and for the comfort which that knowledge gives us. As we give thanks for Gordon's life, we commit all those who mourn his passing to your love and care and ask that your blessing will be upon them and your presence very real to them. Please accept our thanks and our prayers as we bring them to you in the name of your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor McNeice. Returning to the Word of God, first of all in the Old Testament, and then a passage from the New. And Psalm 46, in part, is what we will read from the Old Testament. And the psalmist, in days of turmoil and tribulation, wrote these words: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen. Then to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as recorded in that wonderful gospel, the Gospel of John, the chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing unto these readings from his word today. I'm now going to call upon Stephen to bring a tribute for his father. Thank you.
Born in Fermanagh, Gordon Mervyn Dunn, MBE, on the 4th of April, 1959, to his beloved parents, Mabel and Mervyn Dunn, as the eldest boy in a family of seven, along with Eileen, Lorna, Alistair, Basil, Samuel and Caroline. Dad had a very happy childhood with godly parents and loved nothing more than spending time growing up with his brothers and sisters on the family farm. He always took a great interest in machinery and livestock, and even often reminded us of the many times he cleaned out the pigs as a child and how we did not know what hard work was compared to those days. Dad also took a particular interest in anything with an engine in his youth, which will not be a surprise to anyone gathered here today. Whilst he did enjoy the farming life in the rural setting of Fermanagh and Tyrone, Dad decided to leave the family farm as a young 17-year-old boy, and he often took great pride in telling us that he left Fermanagh just with a school bag on his back to begin a new chapter in his life as an apprentice with the Ministry of Defence, the MOD, at Kinnegar Army Barracks in Holywood. It was only a few months ago he recalled to me how a man had crossed his path in Fermanagh and gave him a newspaper advert in a paper, which he definitely would never have bought, about this apprenticeship opportunity some 100 miles from his home. Dad thoroughly enjoyed his time in Kinnegar and met many people from all backgrounds, making real friends for life, and I'm sure there are some that he met there here today, and there certainly was some along the route in Holywood this morning. And he progressed, as he did with everything he'd done in life. He spoke to everybody and treated them in the correct way. He progressed from being an apprentice fitter to various engineering, managerial and auditing roles, which took him from Kinnegar to Cross Gar and Castlereagh, and he stayed with the MOD until 2011. Dad married the love of his life, Gillian, in 1985, after meeting in this very building at various church and youth events. Our family began with the birth of Andrew, which was a very special moment, believe it or not, when he was born in 1986, followed by myself in 1989, and our family was made complete with the arrival of his special daughter, Amy, in 2001. He loved us all so much and worked so hard day and night to provide and care for our family, always rolling up his sleeves in whatever he done, whether it was DIY, gardening, painting, washing cars, cleaning windows, cutting grass, spraying weeds, trimming, I could go on and on, or walking his treasured dog, Bonnie, which I think everybody knew in this building today at Sea Park, which he loved along the North Down Coastal Path. Even the sunset photographs, I'm sure everybody was familiar with those as well, and he took great delight in that. I was able to say to him only a few short weeks ago how we didn't appreciate how much he'd done for us until we had to do it at home over the last few months during his period of illness. Only then I think we realised and appreciated the amount of work he'd done in keeping the house reasonable, as he would say, or certainly as tidy as possible. But when we had to do it, then certainly it came home. Dad also had a very deep and personal faith, and he was saved by his Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, at a young age. He lived out his faith in everything he'd done and was always thankful for the health and strength to enjoy life with his dear family and friends, all of whom were very precious to him. We were always reminded growing up, right up through all the years, about the need to do what's right, and that was his words. And it sounds basic, but I think, you know, it was certainly very sound and timely advice for us all. As many of you know, public service was a very important part of his life, and he spent 36 happy years as a public representative. Dad was first elected as a councillor on North Down Borough Council in 1981, serving as both mayor and deputy mayor of the borough. And that was a great honour for him. He served as a councillor until 2013. A new chapter began in his life as Dad was elected to the Northern Ireland Assembly at Stormont in May 2011. Moving on from the MOD, that was a big step for him. He had spent so long from an apprentice right up through the years and moved on into full-time elected representative role. As with everything Dad put his hand to, he dedicated himself so diligently to the people of North Down and beyond. Right across Northern Ireland, there's stories of people that he assisted. And I think that certainly is testament to his life. Dad, as many will know here, loved the public interaction in his role. And even the five-minute walk going down the street to get the newspaper every day could take Dad 45 minutes by the time he had spoken to everyone who knew him. And he often came back with more issues needing chased up. These issues were often scribbled on the palm of his hand, which only he could translate and interpret. Dad always believed in treating everyone equally, and in his office, it didn't matter whether someone was a millionaire from Cultraw or a homeless person seeking housing support. Dad treated them all equally, fairly, and with respect, with both being offered a cup of tea and help given. Dad was also a great encourager, and he had a particular love for young people. And this was demonstrated in the many visits that we had of the African Watoto Children's Choir. We took great delight in having them at Stormont on a number of occasions, and probably even greater delight having them at our home to stay on a number of occasions, and those were special occasions. Also, his love for young people, I think, shone through when he took great pride in bringing students for work experience. And he often said to me that he didn't want them sitting in the corner. He said that was no good. And he often took them with him throughout the week. And I think they came home exhausted. And they often ended up in the weekly newspaper alongside him by the Thursday. Such was, I think, you know, the interaction. He didn't want them sitting in the corner. Perhaps one of our proudest moments as a family, and the most humbling moment for him, came in June 2016. When Dad was awarded an MBE in the Queen's Birthday Honours List. We all had the tremendous privilege of going to Buckingham Palace with Dad on that occasion in November 2016 when he was presented his MBE from Prince Charles. This was a day we will never forget, and he was truly humbled by this great honour. When we arrived to Buckingham Palace, many arrived in limousines, Rolls Royces and Bentleys, and drove in through those famous gates at Buckingham Palace, as we were also entitled to do. But Dad, being from Fermanagh, thought, we'll save a few pounds and order a London taxi instead. Much to Dad's pleasure and Mum's despair, a bright orange taxi arrived at our hotel to make that special journey. And you know, that day Dad had a pass to enter through those marvellous gates at Buckingham Palace. But on Sunday afternoon, he passed through those pearly gates. He had his pass. Dad had a number of special outside interests which he had a real passion for, none more so than his love of motorsports, including rallying, touring cars and motorcycle road racing. Just some of his passions in life, particularly the Northwest 200. We travelled the length and breadth of the UK, Ireland and the Isle of Man, and he thoroughly enjoyed every stage and every lap over all those years, meeting many special friends along the road. He also enjoyed football, particularly Man United, and loved nothing more than texting his friends throughout many matches on TV, providing his own full commentary. Sometimes even missing goals, he was so busy texting match updates to his friends. Dad particularly enjoyed his 60th birthday surprise day trip to Old Trafford to see them play just a short 2 years ago. We as a family have many, many happy holiday memories together, and we travelled in quite a number of places, and we each have very special memories of our wonderful husband and father. None of us could ever have imagined what 2021 would bring, as Dad was diagnosed with a serious illness earlier this year. Dad faced this battle courageously, in his normal selfless manner, concerning himself more with the needs of his beloved family and his dear friends and even his constituents. His last days were difficult, but Dad had that great assurance of his home in heaven, and he was ready to meet his Saviour and his King. One of the last words I heard him say on Friday evening was, "What a friend we have in Jesus," hours before he passed into glory. We as a family have been totally overwhelmed by the response over these recent days, and even by the crowd in attendance this morning and this afternoon at the church service. And we want to sincerely thank everybody for coming, for their love and their kindness which they've shown in tributes, flowers, cards, food, and messages of sympathy at this difficult time. I would also like to thank the Reverend Ian Brown for his faithfulness in visiting Dad during his illness, and I know Dad certainly very much appreciated that pastoral support from his minister of this church which he attended for so long, some 40 years. And he very rarely missed morning or night, and he always encouraged us to follow that example. I'd also like to thank Pastor Alistair McNeice for his love and support to our family at this difficult time, and our thanks to the wonderful Marie Curie staff for their compassionate care over these last few months, and Pat Comey from the NI Hospice for his assistance also. My dad, my best friend and my hero, was called to his heavenly home on Father's Day. I was so privileged, honoured and blessed to walk alongside him almost every day of my life, and to be filled with such wonderful and special memories. Absent from the body, present with his Lord. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Stephen for that tremendous tribute. This is a very difficult occasion to bring a tribute of that nature, but sitting back listening to it makes it very evident that all of the qualities that Gordon manifested in his life, he has passed on and are now seen in his family. Thank you very much, Stephen. Returning back to the order of service and to the second item of prayers, the hymn, "In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found. He is my light, my strength, my song." And what we have here is, in essence, the testimony of Mr. Gordon Dunn. We'll stand again, please, as we sing. be seated. I enjoyed, and I'm not really sure that that is the correct time or term to use, because it was difficult in visiting our brother to keep emotions in equilibrium. And we did veer from joy to sorrow and the feelings of impending loss. But there were those precious times of fellowship with Gordon over the past few months. Each time I visited, and yes, we talked about cars and football. He was even able to appreciate how well my team had done last year, Leeds United, and a whole range of subjects that we would have spoken about. But every time we had a prayer meeting, I read some scripture, then prayed, and he prayed immediately after me. Maybe he thought my prayers weren't good enough. But those were wonderful times. And I often left with tears in my eyes, wondering, when will I next see him? But I certainly will never forget those times. We're turning in the Word of God today to the book of Job and the chapter 19. And I'll read the verses that are indicated there, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me. If you've lived for any length of time, you'll have needed to bury someone you love. And you felt the sting of regret, maybe the sorrow of unfinished business, the paralyzing confusion and the emptiness of loss. It's probable that you've also found your mind flooded with questions about life beyond the grave. Our text today in the book of Job, thought to be the earliest, oldest book in the Bible, chapter 19, verse 25 through to 27, it answers some of those questions. I don't expect any of you to have noticed the words of it on your way through the front doors into Martyrs today. Those words are embossed in metal on the double doors on the left-hand side of the porch. But the first and also a key line of this text is on your order of service today on the front page. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job had experienced the devastation of the loss of a loved one, in fact, several loved ones he had bade farewell to. There was a time in life when Job had it all: 10 children, fields of livestock, an abundance of land, and a substantial reservoir of cash. But then, without warning, like an avalanche, adversity struck. In fact, a series of avalanches rolled down into his home. He lost his livestock, his crops, his land, and all 10 of his children. And soon after that, his own health began to crumble. But in the middle of that intense pain, this profound statement of faith and hope escaped from his mouth. And we have the record of it. We have read it already, Job 19, verse 25 through 27. And in these words, Job strikes three big notes of certainty. He lays on the line, expresses here three key convictions and confidences about his life. The first is this: this body is not permanent, but transient, passing. We die. This body is not permanent, but transient. We die. And in those words, in verse 26 of Job 19, he says, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body." Job had seen others die. Many had done so suddenly. In extreme weather conditions, as the result of accidents, by the hand of murderers, and so many of those who had died did so in the prime of life. Those who were much younger than him, including his own children. What crushing heartache it always is for a parent to lose their child. And he'd been forced to look down the obituary columns, such as we have recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, and he died, and he died, and we progress down the chapter, and we have that phrase repeated numerous times. I imagine that no one in this congregation expected to be here in these circumstances at the turn of this year, in January, February, even March. None of us would have predicted that the name of our friend, Mr. Gordon Dunn, would be appearing in the obituary column in the month of June. Our brother's illness and subsequent passing have come as a shock. Who can tell just how soon it will be before others are reading our names there? We have seen, we have heard of others dying. Not only that, Job knew that decay was in his own frame. His body was a victim of disease. He himself was dying, and it wouldn't be long. Soon that body of his would be in the grave, and the whole process of decaying would then accelerate. And so he writes here, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body." No wonder the same writer, Job, went on to say that his days upon the earth were swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And the illustration of that was right on our brother Gordon's doorstep in Cultraw, in the Foken Country Park. You want to see how quickly a weaver shuttle goes back and forward? Then there are days where that is demonstrated down there. And he says there in Job 7 and 5, they are not only swifter than a weaver shuttle, but are spent without hope. Again in Job 8 and 9, they are but a shadow. And if those weren't plain and clear and expressive enough, then we go over to the New Testament and we catch what James said in James 4 and the verse 14, "Ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth but a little time and then vanisheth away." And through the Bible, when we check it out, the emphasis here is not on the length of our time, but on the shortness of our time. As we approached the Maypole on Hollywood's High Street today, the piper was playing, swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. And there will come a day when that little day of life will come to its close for us, and our body will be carried to the grave. Are we facing up to that reality? Or are we dodging it as it's so convenient to do, and pushing it to the backs of our minds and programming our thoughts so that we kid ourselves that this day is still some considerable distance ahead? An old hymn has these words, "This old house I'm living in is needing repair. The windows and the shutters are letting in cold air. I say to myself, I'm going to fix them when I can find the time. But lately, I've got leaving on my mind." And it's a wise thought if we number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom and consider, it will not be long before it's me. This body is not permanent but passing. We die. But not only that. Out of Job's words here arises another truth. This body is not annihilated, but resurrected. We die and we will live again. We die and we will live again. This was another certainty for Job. And so in verse 26 and 27 of Job 19, he writes, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet..." He didn't put a full stop in there. It continues. "Yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another." Job was certain that death was not annihilation. And he confidently states that death will not be the end of his existence. Even after his body is destroyed, he will continue to exist. He will live on beyond the grave, and that dissolved body would one day be subject to a resurrection. And in that resurrected body, he would see the Lord. Gordon Dunn made plenty of journeys during his lifetime. Grand Canaria, south of England, Scotland, principally up there to visit family members. They would have been favorite destinations, but even more important to him, and what you've heard from Stephen's tribute today, wherever there was a rally, he was there. And that Fermanagh County blood that flowed in Bertie Fisher's veins clearly flowed in Gordon's too. And as a rather seasoned pro at that game, Gordon would be found standing in the best, which was also the riskiest, vantage points, obtaining the top footage with his camera that he later sent in to RPM. I'm told he stopped sending it in out of embarrassment because his name kept appearing on screen, Fam Cam Gordon Dunn, again and again. Let me tell you about one of his last earthly journeys. He was booked for an appointment at hospital when he was in Marie Curie, but he kept the appointment, but he took occasion to sneak home. Check around the house, walk in the garden that he carefully tended to, be for a while with the dog he loved, Bonnie. And that last walk was only interrupted by a phone call by some concerned staff in Marie Curie, and the answer came back, "Yes, he's got the treatment, we're just coming now." Interim destination? Unknown. However, no matter how majestic or impressive all of those sights were, what he saw on holidays, what he got at the rallies, back at home and in his garden, they are nothing in comparison to what his eyes are seeing now. Job says, "In my flesh shall I see God," the hymn writer said, "face to face with Christ my Savior." Face to face. What will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me, face to face? Oh, blissful moment, face to face, to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Horatio Spafford was a 43-year-old lawyer. Lived in a north side suburb of Chicago with his wife Anna and with their five children. In 1871, his only son died. A few months later, the Great Chicago Fire of 1871 consumed his real estate investments. He lost his entire life savings. But 2 years later, back in business and doing well again, Spafford and his family decided that they're going to take a holiday in Europe. But as was the case, and as was the case with Gordon, down to Hollywood get the paper, but be delayed. Spafford was delayed by last-minute business. He sent his wife and his four daughters on the SS Ville du Havre, just as scheduled, and he promised, "I'll follow you in a few days." On the 22nd of November 1873, the ship was struck by another iron sailing vessel, and it sank within 12 minutes. 226 people were killed. When the survivors of the shipwreck landed in Europe, Anna Spafford cabled her husband, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" Spafford immediately left Chicago to bring his wife home. In the middle of a sorrow, while sailing near to the place where his daughters had died, he wrote the words to what has become a famous hymn, "It is well with my soul, when peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." From the day when Gordon Dunn was won for Christ, he was assured it was well with his soul. He had a mansion in heaven. Now, Gordon, it must be said, was quite the builder himself. He was a trained mechanical engineer. So it's no surprise with that background that some items, at least around the home, should reflect that expertise. Apparently, he constructed a very impressive kennel for that dog, Bonnie. And he extended it, and I'm led to believe extended it again, to the stage where a horse could have stood up inside that kennel. But Bonnie was one who didn't enjoy or appreciate his experience in engineering, because all she wanted was not stay out in the coal kennel, but let's get into the house at my master's feet. And so she sank her teeth into that construction and dismantled it and got her way. Gordon began a new spiritual journey on the 20th of June 2021, poignantly as mentioned, Father's Day, a way he had never gone before, to the Father's house, to heaven and home, a blessed place, a heavenly home, with not a hand of man's upon it, made and built by God. Death is not annihilation. Our soul lives on, and our body will be resurrected to stand before God. How will you do? Are you ready? Are you prepared to meet the Lord? Third and final thought. This body is not permanent, but transient. We die. This body is not annihilated, but resurrected. We die and we will live again. This body and soul is not worthless, but redeemed. We die and we will live again. And there's more. We die and we will live again, and we may. We may live forever in glory. Job knew he would, and in Job 19:25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." That's why he would live again. That's why he would see God, because he had a Redeemer who was and who is living. What is a Redeemer? One who repurchases, one who buys back, one who delivers from bondage by paying a ransom. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." And in saying this, Job was acknowledging right up that he had needed to be purchased back. He knew that he belonged to God by creation. God had made him. He was therefore responsible to his Creator for the way in which he lived his life here on earth. But sin, he knew, had interrupted that relationship, driven a wedge, blocked up the gate of heaven, sent him spinning towards hell. But for his rescue, repurchase, regeneration, and redemption, this Redeemer had stepped into Job's existence and by the price of his own precious blood shed on Calvary had paid the ransom for him. Jesus is the Redeemer that Job spoke about. There is no other Redeemer. He was looking forward in time. We are looking back in time to what this Redeemer has done. Delivered us from the bondage of sin by paying the ransom with his own precious blood. Gordon's house had a sticker placed here, there, and somewhere else. And they were all special marks to him. When he was in Marie Curie, he removed a sticker from his injection driver, proceeded to tear it in half, and then positioned it on the side of the TV controller to give an easy mark to him as to where that volume button was located. Leaving Earth, going out into eternity, there is that special mark that Gordon had, that you and I need. The mark of the precious blood of Jesus Christ upon our souls. Religion isn't enough. Ritual is enough. Good deeds are not enough. Down in Tullymore House, the famous poem was put on display for years. So long the piece of paper yellowed, many persons read it, said this, "In peace, let me resign my breath and thy salvation see. My sins deserve eternal death, but Jesus died for me." Notice here that Job says he is my Redeemer. He had a personal relationship with this Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And our brother Gordon can say that. Can you? Is Christ your Savior? Your Redeemer? Have you called upon him in the middle of your need and claimed him as yours? Can you say, "Jesus, in dying, my sin fully paid. He paid the ransom for me." Without him, our case is hopeless today and will be shown to be hopeless beyond the grave. We need to come as we are, as sinners to Jesus. He will not turn us away. Come to thy only Redeemer. Come to his infinite love. Come to the gate that's leading homeward, homeward to mansions above. And we'll sing of that very thing now in our final item of praise, "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair." Just before we do and then bring our service to a close in a final prayer, let me thank every one of you for attending today. Very much appreciate it. I'd like to thank the staff and the nurses at the Ulster Hospital, at Marie Curie. They could not have done more. I'd like to thank all of those in Hollywood today who turned out and lined the streets in huge numbers. And for those that are tuned into this service on Facebook or Sermon Audio, very much appreciated. There will be light refreshments after the service is over. And if you'd like to make your way out through this door to my left and down either to on the ground floor, our Jubilee Church, or on the upper floor, the Jubilee Hall, you can access the upper hall through staircase, just beyond that, the lift. But please do keep in mind as you move about all of the coronavirus conventions, and that will be much appreciated. Let's stand together as we sing "When the Trumpet of the Lord Shall Sound." Heavenly Father, we call upon thy name today, and we thank thee for thy presence here, for help that has been given. We praise thee for the tribute that has been offered to Gordon, that has summarized his life in a tremendous fashion for us. We thank thee, Lord, for the life that he did live, a full life compressed into this number of years, but a life lived not so much for himself, but for others. We praise thee for the amount of lives that he impacted, and we have the testament to that here today. We had it in Hollywood earlier on today, and Lord, we would pray that thou wilt cause many who came to know him as a friend, that they will also come to know the friend, the greatest friend that he had, the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior and Redeemer, and that one of whom he spoke in those closing days. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry. Everything to God in prayer. May they also be found calling upon thee, embracing thee as Savior, following thee as Lord, acknowledging thee to be the only Redeemer, and trusting not in themselves, but in Jesus' blood and righteousness. Do answer prayer for the family today. Comfort their hearts. Draw especially near. Be with Gillian. Be with Andrew. Be with Stephen and Amy, as brothers and sisters, all the connections, all the friends, and may we know the comfort of God in our hearts today, and go forward, making thy word shine on our steps, and guide our path, and be our counselor, and also our defender. In Jesus' name, to thy praise and to thy glory alone, we pray. Amen.